Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Welcome to a new week. Chuck Bonnywell, Julie Hayden, Chuck and Julie Truth Straight Up Show. And it's grassroots too.
Okay, the Chuck and Julie Grassroots
Show. Brought to you by
brought to you by Mountain West Wellness and Tiny Advanced Chinese Medicine and Acupuncture, along with HappyTrees.co. Poor Chuck, we've only been saying that intro for a year.
Yeah, it's you blew yours last Friday. So.
Hey, we're hoping to get with this Perry Johnson. He is a GOP gubernatorial presidential.
You might have seen him ads for him.
And the Super Bowl, yeah. Exactly.
He's a long shot, but he's going to be interesting.
Right, and we got him with us right now. So Perry, hey, welcome to the Chuck and Julie Show. Thank you for your time on this afternoon.
Well, delighted to be here.
So we will give you a chance to talk about your campaign a little bit. Yeah. But first I want to talk to you about, this is brilliant what you're doing here, I think, and so much needed. And I'll let you explain it a little bit, but basically you're forming a political action committee and you're putting your money where your mouth is too.
How much?
To help, like $1 million.
Well, that's a lot.
To help people who are being persecuted essentially by the weaponized Department of Justice regarding the 2020 election. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what you're doing there?
Well, what we have here in Michigan, I'm in Michigan right now, and we have 16 people in Michigan that are being charged with a crime. And you have to understand, these are not activists. These are merely... Right. Patriots, they are Republicans, and half of these people are in Social Security. Now, what happened is that President Trump knew that there was an issue in the event that the judges ruled that the elections were not run the way they should be run. And if that happened, he needed to have electors in place to go and vote. So these people signed on to do that, and there were attorneys that told them this is what needed to be done. There's nothing wrong. They're doing nothing wrong. And now we have half these people are in Social Security. Some are making $30,000-$40,000 a year. And there is no way on earth they can possibly afford to defend themselves. The attorney fees are running around $150,000. Because they have to take this to court, run it all the way through. They don't have that kind of money.
No.
So we're in a situation where these people are really hurting. The one lady was like 78 years old. She's crying. She's not sleeping. I mean, it's a sin what went on. And in Michigan, the assistant prosecutor actually wrote a letter to Dana Nessel, the attorney general, and told them that these people committed no criminal offense. There is no reason they should be charged. And yet, Dana Nessel went ahead and charged them anyway. And so I feel that everybody is entitled to a defense. We have this weaponizing system going on in this country, which is just un-American. Right. And I just didn't think it was right. So I had to stand up for him. I just couldn't sit idly by and let this go on. And I felt so bad for these people. And I commiserate with their problems. Because it is a problem. And they've meant no harm. And these are not people that are trying to do anything negative for this country. They're not insurrectionists. They're nothing like that. And here they are faced with this trauma.
Yeah, well, I haven't met any of these insurrectionists anywhere. But...
Right. Well, and so you've said to people, by the way, we're on Zoom and people are saying already, thank you, in the comment section. But so
Well, are these state charges?
Yes, Dana Nessel is the attorney general.
Okay.
Okay. Well, and so you set up a PAC and you said you will match $1 million, right? So let's get the important stuff out of the way to help pay for these people's legal defense fund. Where can people, how can people find out more information if they want to help contribute and help you?
Defendthem.net.
One more time.
Defendthem.net.
Okay. You know what? We keep talking over each other. Yeah. Say it one more time.
Defendthem.net.
Okay.
Defendthem.net.
Well, you know, and then we talked about that, Isha, because I'm so glad to see you and the people who help out do this, because, you know, we've been having here in Colorado, our representative Ken Buck has been like attacking people who are saying, given the January 6th defendants, right? And he says, oh no, everything's fine and above board, which of course it isn't. And what you have, and then they say, well, they pled guilty. And it's like, of course they pled guilty. Yeah. They're looking at all of this money. They don't, like you said, they don't have it. The system is totally weaponized against them. And once they're trapped in there, who can blame them really for just wanting to get out? And the Democrats weaponize the system so well, and the Republicans just sit back there and say, oh, well, they must have done something or they wouldn't be charged. And it's great to have people like you, I think, who say, no, we need to help them get a good defense.
And well, we watched the Whitmer kidnapping defendants. Half of them pled guilty because they didn't have much choice in life. Half of them were found guilty, or another third are found guilty. But at least a third of them were found not guilty. So, I mean, if you have good defense, at least depending on how crooked the judges are, and they're very crooked, especially the trial judges, which take away your defenses, take what you can introduce as evidence, make all the rulings for the prosecutors. But at least with money behind them, they have some choice as a 78-year-old grandmother against the power of the state.
I think they're going to be exonerated. I do not expect these people to end up in jail. As long as they have the ability to defend themselves, I do not expect there to be a problem. I do believe that Dana Nessel is doing this because she may have aspirations of running for governor or doing something later. She's doing it for the publicity, and because when she does something like this, she gets a lot of the Democrats behind her because they love this punishing aspect. Sure. And it is a real problem in this country. We have such a great country, and
used to be
never recognized it based on what's going on.
No, you're right.
And again, one of the reasons they do that is they're used to nobody pushing back. And that's why it's so, you know, and they'll have money coming from all kinds of billionaires who are happy to fund these kinds of things. And you know, so we need,
I think it's great you're doing it.
Yeah. We need to push back because one of the things they want to do is try to intimidate anyone else from ever raising questions. They're like, I mean, as you said, there's no crime here. And then they make up these crimes and they have these phony courts. And even if they are exonerated, in the long run, in the short run, they're put through hell and a financial hell as well.
Oh, you have no idea. They're not sleeping at night.
Sure.
Oh, neither would I.
Half of these people literally are so upset they are not sleeping. It is so distressing to them. And you realize a lot of people, they're not used to lawsuits.
No.
You know, I've been in business for a long time, and I have 81 companies and operate in 61 countries. But for me, a lawsuit is meaningless. You know, you're used to it.
But you're not when your freedom's at stake, and not when your ability to stay out of jail's at stake. It's pretty stressful.
And they have no idea. You know, these are people that if they get a traffic ticket, they're upset.
Right.
You know, and now they have something like this they never dreamed of.
Right.
Horrendous.
I was going to say, what has the response been? Have you been getting, have you just started or how are things going?
Well, people are responsive. Some people are more responsive than others. You know, in America, you have all sorts of differences of opinion. Yeah. But I'd say that in general, we find it's about a 75% issue. They do not think this is right. But the biggest problem you have in this country is that you have so many people that think once they're accused, you're automatically guilty.
Right.
And
right.
It's that mindset that is so devastating.
Yeah. Well, and they rely on that. You know, as you said, you've been in business a long time. You're running for president. I mean, I've seen, I was a TV reporter for like 30 years and I saw a lot of things, but at a certain level, you always used to think that at least it might get straightened out in court, right? But you don't think that anymore. I mean, would you have ever in your worst nightmare envisioned a country where the justice and the legal department have been weaponized against just everyday citizens?
Including the judges.
No. You would think that we are actually in China or the Russia or the former Soviet Union, because this is how you expect them to act. You don't expect this to happen in the United States.
Well, I spent
some of the stuff that went on.
I spent some time in Franco's Spain as a student, and also in Tito's Yugoslavia, and even in those places, which are pretty oppressive. They didn't do things like this, where just grandmothers and everyone else are being hauled before the courts and tried to be destroyed. I mean, even as bad as those regimes were in some cases, they're not as bad as the Democrats in this country now.
No, it's really reprehensible, and it's something that we have to really stop. We can't continue like this. It's just not right. You know, campaign, I was actually campaigning on the 2 cents to save America, because my entire theme was on the economy, and because I get so concerned that the government spends so much money, and it's on both sides, really. We're just actually nuts. And now that we're $33 trillion in debt, it's a severe problem when you collect $3.9 trillion in taxes. And notice that we're borrowing money at the rate of what I think now we're up to 5.2% on the 2 year, and the 10 year is as high as it is since 2008. So you're borrowing money at 4.5%. So if you have $33 trillion and you're going to have to borrow at those kinds of rates, think about it. At 5%, it would be $1.65 trillion, which is 40% of what we collect in taxes. Mm. So for the first time in history, we're actually spending more on our interest payments than we are on our national defense.
Yeah.
Well, tell us more about your political campaign, why I decided to get in, and how it's going.
Well, I decided to get in because I love the country. I mean, I think we have the greatest country the world has ever known. We have the most upwardly mobile society ever. I mean, I'm a guy that grew up in a middle-class family. My parents didn't have the money to send me to college, but I worked in the steel mill and I got through. And in grad school, I was getting eviction notices on pretty much a regular basis. But I got a job in the auto industry in the 80s with Ford Warner. And that was the time when the auto industry was in trouble. The Japanese had come in with tremendous quality, and they were killing us. They had better quality, they had better cars. And I thought I knew how to solve the problem. And my background is mathematics. And so I introduced statistical methods in the auto industry. And I started with the people on the line, and we monitored the variation, and I had them make the control charts. They had to do it manually back then. We didn't have computers to do all this. Wow. And they did, and they ironed out the variation. And in about 4 or 5 years, we had the best quality in the world. Mm-hmm. And then I wrote a book on ISO 9000, the quality standard. I said, quality should be a way of life. Why not a standard? It took off like hotcakes, and now Perry Johnson Registrars and Perry Johnson Laboratory Accreditation do business in 61 countries around the world. And I've been bringing quality and efficiency to businesses and companies for the last 30 years. And now I want to bring it to the federal government, because frankly, I think the federal government is way out of whack. And instead of spending every penny in their budget every year to make sure that they're broke every year so they can get more money, we have to change the way they do things. Raise the budget, cut 2 cents out of every dollar of discretionary spending, and get people to start thinking that they have to deliver better quality and better efficiency, and reward the managers that do that. They get a bonus if they achieve it. Instead of incentivizing them to spend every penny, let's have them look at bringing quality and efficiency and incentivize them to do just the opposite.
And well, where do you agree on policies that are different than Trump, or the same as Trump, more importantly, different than Trump?
Well, Trump and I are the same in so many ways, but we are substantially different in the sense that I think he spent too much money. The second stimulus, I think, hurt because we increased our money supply exponentially from, we had $4 trillion in our money supply in the year 2020. And in the middle of 21, we ended up with $20 trillion. So when you end up putting an extra $4.5 trillion out there, you cause inflation. So every time people wonder why we're spending so much for our food, you could thank the government. And believe me, we started spending too much money in the year 2000, after the year 2000. So this has been going on for 23 years. And we were only $5.6 trillion in debt in the year 2000. We had a balanced budget in 1999. And now we are $33 trillion. So it's really something with both parties. The, you know, you probably do know I sponsored Rally for Trump. I like Trump. I voted for Trump. I'm not saying that Trump didn't do a lot of things. I love the wall. I think we need to finish the wall. I think we need to take advantage of the 20,000 agents we have there on the border and let them really enforce the laws that are on the books. We should have, you know, for the first time in history, we have more illegal immigrants than legal immigrants. And we do have that fentanyl entering our country, and it's killing so many of our kids. I think we're losing over 100,000 of them to this, yeah. And it's devastating. So there are so many things that we need to do. But I've always been concerned with the fact that the economy is really the backbone of any country's strength.
Yeah.
And we have to make sure that we give that opportunity to our kids. And it's at a time in my life where I want to give something back to the country. My oldest child started school last year, started college, and I have two 14-year-olds that are now in high school. And it's time for me to give something back to this great country that has given me so much.
What's your position on Ukraine and aid to Ukraine?
Well, we're going broke here. So, you know, it's kind of ridiculous that we're sending, I think the latest number I got, even though they're saying it's $70 billion, is $140 billion to the Ukraine. And we have no accounting for where this money's going.
No.
So when they submitted a bill to try to get a bill passed, Rand Paul submitted this, so that they would have to at least give us an accounting of where they're spending the money.
Right.
They're not giving any accounting of where they're spending the money. And then we have to have some objectives. What are we trying to achieve? You have to at least set out with some basic goals, A, B, and C. Are we going to go on ad infinitum like we did in Afghanistan? And then in the end, we get $60 billion of equipment over there to the enemy. And then we let 13 of our people die there because we're not going to keep the airport. I mean, some of the stuff we do doesn't make much sense. And shouldn't we be getting Europe involved so that Europe contributes what we do?
Well, you're forgetting... Perry, the main point here is to enrich the military-industrial complex, and then the congressmen and the senators who work for them. Basically, it's like you're missing the point, or no? That, and that's good to hear.
Beyond like Menendez, wherever you can steal on the side.
What about the debate? No, I know there's a debate coming up Wednesday. Are you going to be there, or is the RNC and their goofy rules?
No. Yeah, here's what happened with the RNC. That's very interesting because I couldn't decide whether I should file suit or not. Because I qualified for the debate. In fact, right. Not only did I qualify, I had an extra poll. And it's not, you know, because there was no question I was meeting all the requirements.
Mm-hmm.
But they decided on Monday night at some time that they didn't want me for whatever reason. And they called me at 11:10 in the evening and said they were disqualifying a couple of my polls. They were disqualifying McLaughlin, that was a poll taken by Newsmax, and then they disqualified a Victory Strategic. That poll, they said they disqualified because they did not check enough states. They had checked 38 states. Well, nobody knows how many states are checked because it's all divided by region.
Right.
So I asked, how many states did the others check? How many responses came from other states? They had no idea how many states the other pollsters ended up getting responses from, but they just arbitrarily excluded it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they don't want me on that stage.
No.
I'm the last guy they want on the stage. I'm an outsider. I'm funding my own campaign. I'm not beholden to anyone. And let's face it, I'm the guy that wants to shrink Washington.
Well, yeah.
That's never popular.
That's not popular. And we're talking this, and people have asked, we're talking with Perry Johnson. He's a Michigan businessman. I'm running for president. Some of the folks that are just joining us, if you miss the beginning, he's also launched this wonderful effort, I think, and to be commended for this, to a political action committee to raise money to defend some of the innocent citizens who are the Justice Department and the state legal systems have been weaponized against these people for, some of the things they did in 2020 regarding the election. None of which were illegal, none of them which were a crime, but that, the Justice Department doesn't care anymore.
If you want to contribute to, which he's matching, go to defendthem.com, defendthem.com.
Well,
how do you break through when you don't get to be on the debates?
We see these polls.
It's very difficult. We're having a strategy. I think what I have to do is park myself in Iowa and just literally work Iowa with retail politics because mm-hmm. it's the very first of the state right. and just live there. that's probably what I have to do to try to break through, because if you're not on the debate stage, you really have very little chance to ever get national momentum.
Right.
They don't get to know you, particularly when you're an outsider. In fact, I had spent my entire life trying to be invisible except in my business because anytime you're visible, they come after you.
Yeah, you aren't kidding. You aren't kidding. Look at
we know that one.
Right? I wouldn't let my kids on Facebook. No. We wouldn't let anything happen. And now here I am running for office.
Well, Perry, listen, I want to let you go here. Where can people, because we've had several comments, you're impressing people. Where can people find out more about you?
Follow your campaign.
Yeah, I think they'll like it. Go to perryjohnson.com. In fact, I have a reality series that I did on what it's like to run for president, and they can actually see some of those episodes. There is nothing like it. And until you actually run for president, you have no idea what really goes on in politics. We live in a corrupt era, no matter where you turn. And you never realize how bad it really is until you get in the middle of it all.
That's true.
It is the craziest thing. And here we have this great country. I was taught from the time I was born that we have the greatest country the world has ever known. And in America, you can be anything. And that is true. But I want everybody to recognize there is only one America. It's gone, it's gone.
I agree with that.
I agree with that.
Perry, thank you very much for coming on. You've been a great guest, and the best of luck on your campaign.
Well, thank you, and enjoy life.
All right. Thank you, sir. some of the folks who joined us again, that's Perry Johnson.
You might have seen him. Yeah. He has ads on TV.
I think he ran some ads in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And I think, what I think he's doing too, though, is I commend him for this. Not only he's sort of using the campaign or the platform that he has as a presidential candidate,
right.
Also they'll launch this financial campaign to help pay for some of these folks in Michigan who are being railroaded by the Justice Department there. And, you'd hope that you look at all the January 6th
AG's
people.
Office,
yeah, the AG's office. But you look, the same thing is happening to the January 6th defendants. Yeah, and again, yeah, just one yeah. more smack on Ken Buck. Rather than telling us how fine everything is, you'd think somebody like him could be leading the effort to maybe raise some money. Because here's the thing. So these people are being, if you can't afford an attorney, so you're being prosecuted by a corrupt prosecutor.
Right.
So the only option you have for defense is the public defender's office, yes. Right? Which is the same. It's the other arm of the government, right?
And they're almost all Democrats.
Right. They're all Democrats. And not only that, but they're not going to rock the boat, right? Mm-hmm. They've seen what's happened to the Trump people who've tried to defend them, or right. they try to get him disbarred. Look at John Eastman's whole thing is still right. going on. They're trying to disbar him. So if you're a public defender, you think you're going to go against the swamp? No, you're not. You're going to be like, look, just plead guilty, Just plead guilty.
Do your time. You did the crime.
You're like, and in fact, you could say, I'm not even going to meet with you, the client. I'm just going to plead guilty for you because of all of that. So anyway, good for him. Well, speaking of then, the federal deficit. It's been interesting watching the, and it's not really the Freedom Caucus, is it? It's just some.
Matt Gaetz is not the Freedom Caucus. Right. It is mostly the Freedom Caucus, but Matt Gaetz is not part of the Freedom
Caucus. But this kind of interplay, it's not even the right word. It's this uprising, a rebellion again by some of the America First congressional representatives against Kevin McCarthy. And once again, we're going through this whole, you know, and the media on both sides are like, oh, we can't shut down the government. It's like, sure we can. We've done shows on this. I mean, every time we come up to this, they shut down the government. No one notices anything any different, except for they try to make it painful.
Well, yeah, they won't give you your Social Security check.
Right.
Or they the passport office closes even right. more than it's ever does.
And time, nothing actually really changes. And the armed IRS agents probably continue to do their job.
Yeah.
And so I don't know why the media jump up and down. Well, I do, because everybody wants to have this one giant bill where everyone can put their, you know, their little pork into it, right?
Well, they don't get to. See, that's the whole thing. When a big omnibus bill comes down, the speaker controls it, or in the Senate, it's the president. And so you get to have all the ones you want in there, and all the other representatives don't get to do anything because they just sit on the sideline and they get to vote yes or no. But the big question here is the speaker is trying to do a continuing resolution, which is how the government has now worked for 20 years, this endless continuous resolutions, where nothing ever changes, just the monetary amount increases.
Right.
One of the things that the Freedom Caucus and others did was it said, no, we're going to have individual bills.
Right.
And so once those bills pass, the government will stay open, at least those for the agencies that have gotten funded. And that was part of the reform that the Freedom Caucus and others
wanted. And that's what he promised, right?
Well, that's what he promised. And now McCarthy. All of a sudden you're here at the last week.
They say, oh, well, we don't have time to do all that. And it's like, oh, wait, it's a surprise that this date was coming. So it's been pretty interesting watching Matt Gaetz. And it's also been interesting watching him. You know, I mean, I'll give some credit to Maria Bartiromo, who was like, maybe he has a point. So, Thomas, if we could, this is Matt Gaetz and Maria Bartiromo on Sunday. If we could please play the Gaetz soundbite.
Don't put our pencils down in the investigation of President Biden during a shutdown. So the premise is false. Second, if Kevin McCarthy was actually serious about pursuing the Bidens, he would have sent Hunter Biden a subpoena by now. That's how you know this is sort of failure theater that you're observing. During the first year of Democrat control of the Congress, they brought in Donald Trump Jr. three times over nothing. Over a nothing burger. And so we seem to be fundamentally unserious in our oversight. But what is serious is the fact that we are spending more than $7 trillion a year, bringing in around $5 trillion a year. And I want to fund the government. I'm not pro shutdown, but the way to fund the government is not the same way we've been doing it since the mid 90s, where it's one up or down vote on the entire government all at once. We should have separate single subject spending bills. Kevin McCarthy promised that in January. He is in breach of that promise. So I'm not here to hold the government hostage. I'm here to hold Kevin McCarthy to his word.
Well, and I mean, and that's been part of the thing that they have been saying, right? The Kevin McCarthy, I mean, they held out. There was the big fight, right? And then he promised all of these things, of which, I mean, he's done very few. And I mean, that's great. And I mean, it's good we have the committees looking into the,
he answered that, you know, Bartiromo said we did the Web Station Committee, the Chinese right. Committee, the other one. He says, that's great, but all you do, I mean, I can have Merrick Garland before us and I can yell and scream at him. And he just smiles and he goes back and he's fully funded. It doesn't do you any good unless you do something. He said, you know, right. This is process. Now we need to have real action. The reaction people got, I mean, I think.
We just want to have workers, exactly. Well,
Dan Bishop of North Carolina, representative, said that's the best interview I've ever seen.
Right.
And I think a lot of other people, he just made it so crystal clear, so well articulated and so well responsive that Maria got kind of like, whoa, I'm getting killed.
I'm getting killed.
Well, I've changed my mind.
Well, exactly. So that's what I'm going to play next. And I give her credit. Now, my guess is that she got hammered in some of the social media comments and things like that.
Of course she did.
But on the other hand, I get to give her a little bit of the benefit of the doubt.
Well, at least she did it.
At least that maybe she listened, right? Maybe she said, oh, wait, maybe I'm falling victim to the narrative,
yeah,
right? Rather than actually thinking about things. And then she started tweeting things out like, you know what? I've been listening to what they've said. And this morning she came on and basically said, you know what? I changed my mind. I mean, you know, I think they have a point here. So if we could please play the Maria soundbite.
States said we should have separate single subject spending bills. McCarthy is also pushing to get individual subject bills through, but collectively those bills add up to the same spending number that we were spending at the top of the COVID emergency. Matt Gaetz is pushing for individual bills to come in with a cut in spending year over year. The way to fix this is to give all of those bills a major haircut. The problem is we knew this day was coming. Why weren't these bills done before this week? I still questioned why Republicans can't get on the same page. Why move to a government shutdown and attack the Speaker of the House, blow up the House effectively, undermining the work that they've already done? But Congressman Gaetz came back saying we can't govern the way we have in the past. We are spending $7 trillion a year, but we're taking in just $5 trillion. The spending must be cut. He also questioned how serious Republicans are about investigating Joe Biden, when in fact we still have yet to see a subpoena of Hunter Biden. Good point. I'm very proud of the interviews conducted this Sunday. I posed the right questions, tough questions, to Matt Gaetz, who took on those questions and answered them with practical ideas. He did well, as did my other guests, Jim Jordan, Mark Levin, Mike Lee, and Larry Elder. My priority was to give Matt Gaetz a fair shot. He's calling for action from Speaker McCarthy. He didn't seem to care if the government shut down or not. After all, this is the government, by the way, who gave the IRS bullets, and the government which has been weaponized against American citizens. Governments shut down all the time. In fact, Mark Levin told me that in the 8 years that he worked for the Reagan administration, the government shut down 6 times. So what?
Exactly.
Well, let me ask you a question, Julia, as a longtime TV reporter.
Right.
And a person who's been on camera. Why did she have those reflective glasses?
I think she was up early this morning. I don't know. She wasn't. She was just not looking as polished as she did.
Oh, but the glasses, was, they're all, you know, the lights are shining into them.
She didn't have time. She didn't have time to put her contacts in. I think, though, I'm glad, as Matt Gaetz was also tweeting, it's like, hey, look, we're changing her mind. We can change others. Why not get a couple of the comments? First from Charlene, wanted to give kudos to her. She gave money to John Eastman.
Yay,
Charlene. Because, like, you know, we know John Eastman. And that's just say he's not a billionaire by any stretch of the imagination. And then also from Charlene, Congress is lost to the people. McCarthy is carrying the World Economic Forum Davos agenda. Gaetz is fabulous.
Theater level.
Uh-huh. Leo says government shutdown. How about we find all of those missing, or how would we find all of the missing F-35s? Right, which I still don't buy. The pilot is, at first they said he was ejecting due to weather. Then he called it a mishap.
The weather's not good here. This jet doesn't hit a major subdivision or land in downtown Atlanta. I mean, wow.
There's something. And from Dr. Donna, the government is making out better than Barney Fife, as he only carries one bullet. Well, you know, they have a point. It's like, you know, trim the budget. At a certain point, because here's what's going to happen. Let's just say, so they're spending $7 trillion. We're bringing in $5 trillion. Right. So that's $2 trillion by my math. And pretty soon they're going to look around and go, where can we get more money? Chuck and Julie, Charlene, Dr. Donna, Leo. I mean, you know.
Barney.
Yeah, they're going to say that. Barney.
Hey.
That's where they're going to go.
Barney.
Go ahead. Chime on in, Barney.
Hey. Can we talk about your ass clown friend for 1 second, and then I'll say something about
which of our many ass clown friends?
Yeah.
Well, not Peter. We're talking about George
Rockler.
George. So okay. I can't remember when I listened to George. It may have been he used to be on KOA, and he didn't sound like he does now. But you know, the problem with guys like George is George. We can smell you guys now, just like Ken Buck. We used to cover it up. We used to blow over it. We smell you a mile away. You stink to high heaven. You obviously don't change your underwear. He's bitching about this case in Adams County I'm just a dummy truck driver here, Chuck, but I think that you're pretty hard pressed to get a prosecutor to go against the cops. So you pretty much have to get either a retired prosecutor or, I don't know, somebody from Timbuktu, because that's one hell of a, I mean, think about it. You've got a DA that's going to go against the cops and prosecute them. It just makes for, you know, cops already have their thin blue line and, oh no, nobody can say nothing bad about a cop. Well, the DAs are the same way. Brockler won't, by the way, I would say to Brockler, why don't we get Alex Hunter out here? Maybe he could prosecute this.
I don't even
case.
Know if he's around. What a freaking ass clown.
What case in Adams County are you talking about?
You're talking about the Elijah McClain case?
No. Yeah, Elijah McClain case. So we could get Alex Hunter, to prosecute it. But look it, Brockler will not admit that there are scummy prosecutors out there. And there are. They're all over the place. Yeah. But and Ken Buck, I guess we can't say nothing about Ken Buck because he was a great prosecutor. I don't know. Your friend is an ass con. He's a hack. And that's worse than being just, whatever. Being a hack is worse, especially in that kind of position. But talking about Maria probably got her lights punched out by the Fox executives. She's probably going to be by the wayside of
Tucker Carlson.
Probably Dwayne Tucker, yeah. I love Matt Gaetz. And, Mark Levin would refer to Kevin McCarthy and Steve Scalise as mental midgets. They really are. They're the worst. They're the scummiest of all. And what is the big deal with George W. when he started, I'm just going to go along with it so they can, so they have nothing to bitch about. Well, thanks, George W. You started the Republicans on steroids, and it's nonstop. But by the way, I think these politicians figure, okay, if I've got $100 million in the bank and we destroy the dollar with all our spending, I'll still have $1 million. So I'll still be in good shape. Is that what they're thinking?
Well, that's why they want to get even more, right? Because they realize, we're destroying the economy, so I better get even more
Senator
money.
Menendez didn't have enough pockets to shove the dollar bills in.
And the gold bars. Don't
well, that shows where his
bars.
Confidence is.
Yeah.
All right, hey, Brandon, listen, thank you for calling in.
All right.
Thank you for calling. I think he was talking. George had written a column criticizing the state for having some outside prosecutor in the Elijah McClain case. But I think I haven't followed that very much either. There's so many things to follow anymore. But I think, what do you think is going to happen? Is McCarthy going to, I don't want to say cave, because I would say it's not caving, it's do the right thing, right? So far, what we've seen and what they're pointing out is, so why have we not subpoenaed Hunter Biden? For that matter, why haven't they subpoenaed Joe Biden? Why haven't they subpoenaed Jill Biden, Biden's brother? There's a billion Biden family members who've been making money off of this thing. Bring in just one of them,
Right.
And it said, nope.
We're waiting for the right time.
And then in the meanwhile, the Justice Department keeps doing the dance around him saying, he can't talk because we've got all these charges
pending investigation.
So and this one seems to be like a no-brainer. Go ahead and try to actually trim the budget. Let's go ahead and actually take all the money out for the IRS agents. Let's go ahead and actually defund some of the weaponized prosecutions of Donald Trump and
you'll find out because starting today they've got 5 days in order to pass 4 major budget bills. The more budget bills they pass, the more pressure they put on the Senate to approve them or not approve them. And so then all of a sudden,
let's make it Mitch McConnell's fault.
Yes.
And Chuck Schumer's fault. That's what they should do is just put it all in there the last day and then make it the Senate's fault. Well, I think it goes back to something that Perry Johnson, our guest, was saying. It's like you have no idea how corrupt things are until you actually start running for president. And then you're like, holy cow.
You can get an idea.
You can get an idea. Well, speaking of that, because this is it's not Party Friday, but we wanted to have good news Monday. It's kind of fun watching all of the liberal media people freak out over the polling trends. So the ABC Washington Post poll came out. Number one, it showed that people basically hated Joe Biden for just about everything. Yeah,
economy, Ukraine,
his age,
it doesn't matter.
The border, they don't like him at all. But even more scary to these people was that Donald Trump in the Washington Post ABC poll is beating, just in general, Joe Biden by 10 points.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot. That's above margins of error. And among independents, he's beating Joe Biden by 13%.
And while it's an outlier poll, which they constantly say, Harvard Harris X poll today came out and it showed Trump with a 5-point lead.
Right.
So
NBC showed him kind of even. So the polls are clearly going the wrong way. And so I just wanted to play just for fun, Joe Scarborough on Morning Joe telling us what a nothing burger this is. If we could please play the MSNBC soundbite.
When I see a poll like this, the 9-point poll, I saw it and I literally started laughing out loud.
I did too.
Put it down.
I did too.
And like went out and had my Sunday morning walk because it's a joke, but it continues.
Yeah. That was exactly the proper reaction. I felt the same way.
Okay. Yeah. Now, they did that at the end of their 9-minute segment on it, right? Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, it was a joke. All these polls, just outliers. And then they kind of, though, were forced to go through the poll and then point by point explain why we don't need to worry about that. Don't you? But you could just tell in watching them, they were frazzled, I think, don't you think? Yeah. They were kind of like freaking out over this. And here, I mean, everything they're doing, guys, is not working. Every time they charge Trump, people support him, right? And not just stupid MAGA people, but you've got increasing numbers of
transgender people.
Pretty soon, all of these immigrants they're bringing in are going to be Trump supporters. And then they're going to start deporting them. You can guarantee that for sure. Because they're ignoring the main thing. They're telling people that the economy is fine. They're telling people they better
get enough. Best economy ever, in case you didn't notice it.
They're telling people that, you know, that COVID is back, so you got to get into the vaccine. Then meanwhile, we find out that they're actually bribing CIA people to tell us to lie about the origins. I mean, there's
CIA is bribing its own analysts.
Right. Like Barney said,
there you go.
Smell it now. And they don't get, that's why they support Trump. And the trouble is they can't change. They have no principles. So they can't turn around and say, I know, maybe we should say that criminals should be put in jail or prison as opposed to letting go free, right? You've got like the Democrat mayors now are screaming, you know, the sanctuary city mayors are screaming about that. And the pictures are so outrageous that people can't ignore them, right? You see that constantly. And
another one, we don't have video for it, but the mayor of Dallas, Texas, who's been a longtime Democrat, switched over to the Republican Party, which is shocking because Dallas is a very blue city. The mayor of Fort Worth is also a Republican, but they're like, oh, he's a bum anyway. Oh, we care. It's a joke. I went out and had my Sunday morning walk. What a joke.
It's got to be alarming to them. Well, it is. You could see when you watch the demeanor of the MSNBC people,
they were
kind of like freaking out while they're telling us that I literally laughed. I'm like, I bet you didn't literally laugh. You know, I bet you didn't. And then walked out for your Sunday morning walk in some crime ridden city, right? That there you were, you know, you had to worry about being mugged every time you took a step. No, it's, the country is falling apart around Joe Biden and the Democrats. People are mad. You notice the whole COVID stuff went away. They tried to make it a thing, and then all the talk about that went away pretty quickly.
You're not going to put masks on them.
Instead, not only does Trump not go away, he keeps getting stronger and stronger. And the economy is going to get worse. I mean, I don't know, we've seen about gas prices lately. Ukraine is going to get worse. Exactly. And, you know, this raises a question, then I think I'm going to get your thoughts on this, and you guys too, if you want to chime in. So the guy at the conservative treehouse, who he is like you, he's like, oh, he's right. He is saying that he thinks what's going to happen is that the Democrats do not want to have a bloody primary, right? So but it's becoming increasingly clear that even given the amount of election fraud that we know occurred the time before and is going to occur now, the gap is getting too big and they can't find enough votes to actually beat Trump this time, he says. And it would be so obvious, right? Because they have to go to key places. It would be so obvious that they couldn't do that. So what they need to do is find somebody who gets them back within the margin of abuse that would work, the margin of fraud that would work, right? So he predicts, in order to avoid a primary, which they don't want, that Joe Biden will go in, no one will actually challenge him, but then at the convention or right before the convention, he'll say, oh, you know, I got this doctor's note, or oh, Jill, I need to go spend time with my family or something like that. He'll step down and then there will be an heir designated who will arise. What do you think?
Well, I think it's the cleanest way of doing it. Either have Michelle Obama, Gretchen Whitmer, or the more likely candidate, Gavin Newsom. But you're going to have to see some polls coming out, which will now be saying Gavin Newsom would beat Trump by 10 points.
Right. Right. Well, because the problem they have is not just Trump, but Nikki. I mean, everybody beats Trump, right? Perry Johnson, or not Trump, beats Biden.
Perry Johnson,
beats Joe Biden. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do. I don't think Michelle Obama's going to run. I used to think Joe Biden was going to be the candidate, but he is becoming too unpopular, and that they're going to have to get rid of him. Now, it won't change anything. You know, the Democrats will still try to do what they do. But, you know, so the candidate, however, the president will still, I think, be just a puppet, and they're trying to ram through all of their policies. But it is kind of interesting watching. And again, nobody, even the Republicans, the establishment Republicans, you know, Dick Wadhams, I'm sure, would turn around and say, oh, Donald Trump, nobody would ever vote for Donald Trump, right? But Donald Trump is now in the polls, at least some, beating Joe Biden, right?
I think that actually happened last time, it was 1940, when the Republicans, they went into their convention. Then there became this huge groundswell for, God, what was his name? Well, I'll think of it. Who became their nominee. He was a kind of a, almost a semi-Democrat, but he just took over the whole convention. Once the convention ended, everybody said, well, this guy sucks. But it happened there, so it could happen now.
It's what happened with Joe Biden, right? Remember before, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders were kind of starting to become more and more popular. So the establishment Democrats said, well, we can't have them in, right? So then they made all of them drop out. There was literally like a giant back office meeting. And they
Wendell Willkie.
And they said that, you know, Joe Biden's going to be our nominee. But I think the trouble is the cognitive issues alone. And then you throw that in with the economy. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Democrats handle it. Well, then that turns me to something else I wanted to briefly talk about. And that is Sean Hannity. Sean Hannity is going to carry the debate between Gavin Newsom and Ron DeSantis.
That should be exciting.
So you're kind of like, so wait a minute. So two people, one of whom right now is not running for president, one of whom is, but no one likes, so they're going to debate. I mean, what the frick? What are they going to debate, right? It's like if you're Rupert Murdoch, you're like, he's trying to kidnap Trump. He's trying to do anything he can, which kind of tells you that you got to think, I guess, from the Billionaire Boys Club, you know, Charlene, your World Economic Forum, Davos guys, Gavin Newsom, Ron DeSantis, pretty much the same thing. Otherwise, they wouldn't let him debate, right? Otherwise, they wouldn't be debating on Fox. They're doing this so everybody likes both of them. And if you're the Billionaires Club, it's kind of like six of one, half dozen of another. You don't care.
There's a really good article by Howie Carr that you can find on Real Clear Politics, who describes Rupert Murdoch and who he really is. And he's kind of praising Rupert. He just says, no, Rupert doesn't. He's not a right-wing ideologue. He's a Murdoch ideologue. And he'll just do whatever makes him millions of dollars. But it's really well done saying, you know, I trust whatever Murdoch says to an extent.
It would be good for Rupert Murdoch.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Just like, what ridiculous debate. That's going to be November 30th. And so in the meantime, there's another, the presidential debate is for the GOP debate is coming up on Wednesday. I don't know if you're those guys campaign, what you're seeing, I think, if even according to Politico, is you're seeing all of the billionaires and the big donors anymore are holding onto their money, right? They're like, there's no point in giving it to Nikki Haley, no point in giving it to Ron, Ken Griffith even, right? Griffin is kind of holding onto his money. And so I think what they want to do is see some good, all the billionaires who pretend to be conservatives, right? They just want to have somebody on the Democrat side who can defeat Trump.
Right.
I mean, and again, when you look at, it's interesting because we don't really know how much they're able to ballot harvest and stuff, you know, to rig the election, basically. But I think when you're starting to talk 10 points, that starts to become a lot. I mean, you have to have like giant semi loads of ballots come out. I know, but a bunch of them, more than one. So that becomes kind of noticeable. So we'll see on that. But I don't know. What do you think? Do you think will Biden drop out before? Will he do that? Do you think he'll be the nominee?
Well, in some sense, they can't kick him out because as long as he wants it, they're not going to be able to kick him out. how they get him kicked out, I don't know. You know, I mean,
that's the point. You're right. That's assuming that Biden would go along with their plan, right? Yeah. And we know Dr. Jill, she is not
She's quite happy.
And Kamala Harris is just kind of like, pick me. And everyone's
what
like,
about me, everybody? Yeah,
no, Kamala, no. Really. So you're right. And they've got to be Biden loyalists, right? Who also are sticking up. I mean, somebody's running, you know. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. Meanwhile, I don't know. I just kind of think, and you know, go to the local watch parties because I think that helps fund some of the counties. But it's like, why would anyone watch these people? I mean, even after the last debate, some of them kind of got a bump, but Trump stayed up high and kept going higher, right?
Right.
And I guess I could turn around and try to indict him again on something else, but that doesn't seem to work very well, right? They can try to, what did he say? Here's the trap they're setting him. They're issuing now these
gag orders
saying he can't say anything. So what they're going to try to do there, read my lips, what they're going to do there is Trump's going to say something. It doesn't even matter what. And now they're going to say, well, he's in contempt of court for saying that. So
I don't think they'll do him any good, though.
No, that won't matter anyway, right? Because people already get that they're censoring everything, right? Nobody particularly cares about Russell Brand, right? David Portnoy and the Barstool thing didn't lose a single sponsor over the fake news attempt to discredit him.
Russell Brand has. And we're going to, because we had it done to us, what they do, and they go to all your advertisers and everything else, and it's very effective. So I think on Wednesday we'll go what it's really like to be canceled and watch all the advertisers turn on you and everything else. It's a fun experience that I don't really wish on anybody else, but it's few people.
Guess is Russell Brand in the end would kind of like Tucker Carlson. I mean, here's the thing that you got to be, that's why we are so grateful to bbsradio.com, right? You need to find and rumble platforms that are not susceptible to that. We've seen what happened with Bud Light. We've seen what happened with Targets. Consumers aren't responsive to it. Consumers go the other way around, but you've got these big advertisers that, you know, that go with the woke stuff. So let me just also, and Wednesday we've got Brian June Depp.
That'd be good.
Yeah, he's got, he talks about impeachment. He talks about masks. He's talking about COVID. He's got columns up all over the place. So we'll have him. We'll talk about that. And also we do need big opt-out vote coming for the.
We'll certainly get into that.
Exactly. Okay. Well, that's it. Happy Monday to everybody. We'll see you all on Wednesday.